My cousins and I were so bored, and we were trying very, very hard to behave. It was 1982. I was a middle schooler, and my cousins and I were together at my great-grandmother's funeral, Grandma Goldman. We called her Grandma Go. She was in her 80s when she passed away. And we were trying. We were gathered for her funeral, the whole family. We were in upstate New York in this little funeral home for the celebration of life. My parents and my grandma and my grandpa Hall and the rest of the adults, aunts and uncles, were all busy up front. You know the deal, the visitation line, and they were there greeting people, and they had just told all of us cousins, behave yourself, stay out of trouble. Well, we did what middle schoolers should never do. We went exploring in a funeral home. Yeah. And we found ourselves in this back room at the funeral home, and one cousin dared another cousin to open a drawer. And when we opened the drawer, we found all kinds of interesting things that would really, really mesmerize middle schoolers. Wax and makeup and all this stuff. And we're like, oh, we're looking at one another. And then another dare got thrown out. One of the cousins dared me to look at what was sitting up in the front of the room. Do any of you know what this is? Yes, a prehistoric iPad, yes. It's an old typewriter, and there was a typewriter about like this one sitting there at the front of the room, and they said, look and see, there's a document in it. What is it? And I glanced over, and at the top it said, death certificate. And we're all like, oh, what if it's Grandma Goes? Oh. And I'm like, there's no way. I dare you to look. I'm not looking, I said. Then we looked over on the side of the room. There was a curtain. I dare you to look behind the curtain. No, I'm not looking behind the curtain. And all of a sudden, we all put it together. We figured out what room we were in. Just about then, we heard feet coming down the hallway, and we all scooted out of that room. We knew that we were in the death room. Yeah. Here's a little roadmap of where we're going together in this message. I just want to give this to you right up front so you don't miss it. Little roadmap. Christ's resurrection plus our physical resurrection like his. What's your response? I want to urge you in the next few minutes as we talk about this to ponder and keep pondering and keep pondering, what's my response? What's my response? And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. So if you've got a Bible app or your own copy of God's Word in print with you, go ahead, get there in 1 Corinthians 15 because you're going to want to be able to see some things. And if you don't have either with you, that's okay because a lot of the scriptures will be right up here on the screen. I want to encourage you to ponder all throughout the next few minutes, what's my response? What's my response? What's my response to Easter 21? So my cousins and I were trying. We were trying hard. And I realize now, looking back on it, that in the midst of all of our daring each other and our laughing and our cackling and then our running from the death room, I realize now that we were really trying to process all that we were experiencing, to process the emotions and to process the grief and to process what's this mean. And so when we fast forward from 1982 to now, 2021, fear of death, false narratives, flaky living, if there was ever a year, we need better confidence in the resurrection, it's 2021. And so we're going to see this morning that we can revisit the story and recall the personal implications and renew our faith and faithfulness to King Jesus. So I invite you to see what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. Will you read it with me? Let's read it out loud. Let's read it full voice together. Here we go. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You notice it? Indeed. Indeed. First century Corinthians knew a lot about death, false narratives, and flaky living. Corinth was a materialistic, self-centered, hyper-spiritualized, hyper-sexualized culture. Paul had blazed a gospel trail in Corinth, but the church of Corinth was riddled with pride, worldliness, misguided views of the afterlife, misguided and strange views about morality. In fact, theirs was immorality and a lot of disunity. The church was riddled with disunity. And so the sage apostle writes to urge them and correct them and encourage them to be revived in Christ Jesus. Specifically, to be renewed in light of the resurrection. To be renewed in light of the resurrection. Pause to ponder. Living now in 2021, we can relate right now all too well. Right? All too well. Fear of death, false narratives, flaky living. We need to revisit the story. Recall the personal implications of resurrection. Renew faith and faithfulness to King Jesus. We've all spent too much time in the death room. Our community has done so many untimely goodbyes. Too many funerals. It's been that kind of season. Too much grief. Too many tears. And along the way, many have espoused or cultivated false ideas about spirituality, the afterlife, and as a result, chosen flaky living. This was true back in Corinth. Yes, they were very spiritual, but very misguided in perspective and daily living. They believed in an afterlife, yes, believed in an afterlife, sure, but it was based on elusive, deeper, supposedly secret knowledge. Gnosticism ruled. Afterlife ideas included wispy ghosts and spirits floating around, separated from their bodies. They believed in disembodied immortality. And as a result, many Corinthians chose one or the other. Some chose a live it up perspective, hedonism. Indulge the body in whatever feels good. Why? Well, you only go around once. So live it up now. Make it count. It's all about you. Your pleasure in this body, because you only get it now, so live it up. Or others chose strict self-denial, asceticism. You've got a body, but you better be really harsh and uber self-disciplined for true attainment of real spirituality. And this bred a bunch of legalistic, self-made living. You know, there are times you really need to revisit a story. There are times you really need to revisit a favorite story that brings you back. What's your go-to movie? Think about it. Your go-to movie. If you need the inspiration, if you need the encouragement, or you need pulled into a spot where it's just like, oh, that recentered me. Now, this won't surprise many of you because, you know, for me, it's got to watch some J.R.R. Tolkien. There was a February Sunday afternoon when I was home. I had gotten done napping, and I flipped on TV, and they were running marathon, Hobbit marathon. And I sat there. And multiple times through the afternoon, I was like, yeah. I was a mess. And I needed it. I needed to come back to that story. I think we need this Easter, more than any other Easter possibly in your lifetime, because of all our time this year with death and false narratives and flaky living. So Paul says, time to revisit the resurrection story. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Look at what it says. Paul says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, Paul says, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me, whether then it is I or they. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. He says, this is what you believed. Paul gives synopsis. Highlights, did you catch it? Jesus' death on the cross, his burial in the grave, and then what? His resurrection. All of which is detailed in the gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you can visit there for the fuller blown stories. He rehearses Jesus' post-resurrection appearances as evidence. Notice he zeroes the camera in. He takes the movie shot in on the resurrection appearances as evidence. And he says, many of those first century eyewitnesses, well, he says they were still alive, as if he's saying, you can go talk to them. You can go find them. That they're evidential eyewitnesses. They were there. Though some had fallen asleep. And this was Paul's word picture for death, to have fallen asleep. They had died. He highlights his own gracious encounter, with the resurrected Jesus, because Jesus had appeared to him on the Damascus Road. And now Paul says this was all by, did you catch it? All by what? Grace. All by grace. After all, he had previously hated and persecuted Jesus' followers. Now, Christ Jesus met him and wonderfully changed his life, demonstrating resurrection reality. Yes, evidence. Paul's own life, evidence. So Paul is recalling how the grace of God met him there, and we all need such grace. We all need such grace. Just turn to somebody right nearby you and just smile and say, you need grace. Go ahead. You just tell them. Go ahead. Just say, you need grace. And now just smile back at them and say, you've got grace. Go ahead. You've got grace. Why grace? Why so important? Well, apart from God's loving grace in Christ Jesus, we are forever doomed to the death room. Yeah. And way more serious than some cackling middle schoolers in the back of a funeral parlor. We're doomed to the death room. The reality is there are eternal consequences to sin. Separation forever in hell, yes. that hopeless realm of eternal separation from God, from friends and family, from loving, eternal, forever friendship with Jesus and with others. Consequences of sin. So we need grace, and it's God's grace that gets us out of the death room. So how about you? Seriously. How about you? Are you ready to place your faith in Christ Jesus, the risen one? Are you ready? Do you believe, do you really believe in a wonderful flesh and bone, full and true physical resurrection like Jesus' resurrection? Do you believe in Jesus' resurrection? And do you believe there's a flesh and bone resurrection for all of us who are in Christ someday? Do you really believe that? I'm struck with how little we seem to buy into real resurrection. Jesus utterly hated death. When his good friend Lazarus was suddenly ill and died, Jesus was deeply stirred in his spirit. There's multiple times in John 11 that we're told he was deeply shaken. He was deeply troubled. And he was troubled again. He hated death. And he spoke these bold words to Lazarus' sister Martha. John 11, 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus is still asking people today. He said it to Martha back then. He's still asking us today. Do you believe this? Do you really believe? We more readily espouse an afterlife, I'm afraid. We more readily espouse an afterlife that looks more like Dickens' Ghosts with Scrooge or long-gone Star Wars characters who reappear just kind of flickering. Souls that are sort of back, but not really, because they're struggling to make amends or to sort things out or find themselves. Or we only buy into the idea of bright white, angelic harps, pristine, glowing, sort of a Longwood Gardens-like heaven. Some of you have been to Longwood. How many have been to Longwood? You're like, that'd be pretty good heaven. It's beautiful, I'll admit it, but is that really all you want? This Easter, do you really believe? Do you really believe that Jesus was raised and that will be raised, that humans will be raised to life, really raised to life in physical bodies someday? Paul shifts to address the Corinthians' false narrative about the afterlife, verses 12 through 19. Verses 12 through 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith, Paul says. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Do you really believe in a wonderful, marvelous, full and true, tangible, skin and bone, real physical resurrection to come for those who are in Christ? If you're physically able, pinch some skin right now. Go ahead. Not the neighbor next to you, your own, all right? Go ahead, pinch. Do this. Grab bone. Yeah. Skin and bone. Full blown skin and bone. We land back at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul is saying none of those ifs are true. Did you catch all those ifs? And all of them were contrary. They were a false ideology, a false thinking pattern about the resurrection. If. He says none of those ifs are true. And notice first fruits. First fruits. This was a very Hebrew Jewish old covenant festival offering at the tabernacle kind of thing. The stuff of Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23. Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23. You brought your first fruit festival offering, and it was accompanied by sacrifice of a perfect lamb. Your first fruits offering accompanied by a sacrifice of an unblemished sheep. You brought the best bundle of your crops from the harvest and an unblemished sheep. You praised God. You fully anticipated even more to come. You gave this offering with gushing gratitude, devotion, passion. Yes, sacrifice. And this was very tangible, real, physical expression. First fruits were a lead the way, foretaste. There was more harvest to come, more harvest to come. Jesus, his own lamb-like sacrifice. And then his resurrection body, it would have been like seed planted in the ground. And then he was supernaturally raised up by God the Father. First fruits. Watch this. Take a look. The Apostle Paul continues in verses 21 and 22. He says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Think on Christ, a glorified, real, very physical body, a fully beating heart again, and fully breathing lungs again, and fully creative heart and mind. Still, scarred hands inside, but healed. That was big evidence. A healthy appetite. So he cooked breakfast and ate fish and bread with his friends. Really, he did. He cooked breakfast on the beach, and he ate fish and bread a couple different times with them. You can see it in Luke and John's gospel accounts, the very end of those accounts. Food was evidence. Evidence of this very physical resurrection body. Yeah, evidence, kind of like the mysterious banana peel that's on the road behind our house. There's a banana peel that keeps showing up. Really. Just the peel. Right now, you could see it directly behind our house, and it's shriveled, and it's blackened, but 2 days ago, it was freshly peeled banana drop there. And the week before that, another one. And the week before that, another one. And another one. And it's been going on now for months. I don't know who the banana peeler eater is, but the food is evidence there is one. You can drive up Gloucester Street and see. It's always right there within the same 10-foot swath. The food is evidence. Paul now recalls the personal implications of the resurrection. Dreadful death resulting from Adam's sin. Notice it. Since death came through a man. For as in Adam, all die. Dreadful death resulting from Adam's sin, because sin and death were passed to us. Yes, death in this life, but also that forever death, that separation forever, but in Christ Jesus. But in Christ Jesus, it all gets reversed to wondrous life. We're made alive. The ancient Greek word is where we get the oh-so-popular name today, Zoe. Anybody know a Zoe? Yeah, a bunch of you. Zoe, life. It's the stuff of life. It's the stuff of a zoo. Teeming with creatures, with life. It's the stuff of running and playing and eating and laughing and baking and rejoicing and cooking and strategizing and building and feeling and singing and making movies and designing buildings and creating some more and sharing and caring and helping. It's life. It's full of hope. It's real. It's full-blown flesh and bone. Go ahead, do it again. Just grab it. Go ahead. Real flesh and bone. Absolute opposite of the specter death and the death room. Absolute opposite. All over the scripture, it's talked about as the land of the living. You come out of the death room into the land of the living. Resurrected Jesus was raised to this kind of life, and he does this kind of life making for us. He does this kind of life making for us. Christ Jesus' resurrection, our real physical resurrection. What's your response? You've got a little card there. Brian referenced it earlier. I invite you to take it out. And if you're there online, you've got opportunities to respond as well. Seriously, look at the response opportunities. Are you ready to place your faith in Christ? If you never have, I hope you are. And I urge you, even right now, in these very moments, deep within your soul, you can say it. You can cry out right now, deep within your heart, Jesus, I believe. I believe in your death, your burial, your resurrection. I believe, and I want to follow you with my whole life. Forgive my sins. I want to follow you, Jesus. Are you saying that right now? Oh, I hope you are. And if that's you, I invite you to check the box right here. Seriously, check the box. Have you placed your faith in Christ and you'd like to get baptized? Early June, we already have several of you interested in doing this. Early June, we're going to be back at it and have a baptism celebration. Let us know if you'd like to be in on that. We would love to help you get ready. Will you aim to regularly attend worship services online or in person? This is a great time. Easter is a great time to say, reboot, renew, here I go. Here I go. I'm going to grow more. How about it? Will you commit daily to prayer and Bible reading? You can get ready this week. We re-engage with our fruit series next week in Galatians 5 and 6. So this week, I invite you, challenge you, urge you, read every day Galatians 5 and 6. In just a few minutes, you can be ready each day and open to what Christ wants to do anew in your heart. How about it? In a few weeks, we're going to have a Next Steps gathering. This will be two Sundays in a row, back to back, part A, part B. And if you need a spot where you can refocus on what it's like to grow in Jesus and know more about what makes Manor Church unique and all of that, we'd love to have you be a part of Next Steps Gathering. We invite you. Check the boxes, give us your name, how to contact you, and we'll get you more info. We would love to help you take next steps. Paul recalls the personal implications. Are you ready to let Jesus renew your life? Truly. To renew your life? In the book Raised, little book, powerful book, Dodson and Watson say this: when we give up on faith in self and instead put faith in the risen Christ, we experience a death and resurrection of our own, a spiritual resurrection that will one day culminate in a bodily resurrection. Now, don't miss that. The spiritual resurrection, that newness of life that we just talk about in these next steps, gets engaged in the future in a real, physical, bodily resurrection. And they go on to say, although death is painful, the resurrection tells us that death does not have the final word. Those who hope in the death defeater Jesus have the promise of life forever. What a promise. Life forever. Paul goes on to detail a sequence of personal implications, verses 23 through 25. God's plans have an order. God is orderly. He was orderly back at creation and in new creation. He has an order to things. Verses 23 through 25, Paul says, but each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. So Christ led the way with his resurrection, the first fruits. When the king comes back, when Jesus returns, those who are his, those who have placed their faith, their trust in him, and followed him, will then be raised in real physical bodies. Yeah. Full blown, flesh and bone, living, active, vibrant, incredible. Notice that after all forms of power opposing the will of God are vanquished under his feet. Once fully and finally, the serpent's head has been crushed. Once death has been crushed, defeated once and for all. Life. Fully, finally, once and for all. In verse 26, as Paul says, this victory will be full and final. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death, yes, personified right here. The last enemy, think of it. Think of it. Never again. Anything to fear. Forever. No more cancer? Really? No more heart disease? Really? No more COVID? Really? Death will be destroyed. No more death certificates. No more death room. Utterly stomped, trampled, gone forever. Why? Easter means Jesus was raised, full blown, flesh and bone, real, physical. He hung out with his friends. He poked and he prodded with them. Remember the Thomas deal? Remember Thomas, Doubting Thomas? He always gets a bad rap, but I think he got invited to do some pretty cool stuff, right? Remember what Jesus said? Tom, come here. Go ahead. Poke your finger in. Go ahead. I always want to know, like, what Jesus, like, what did he do? Pull a robe aside? Well, I mean, what? It's kind of cool. Think about it. How about him messing around with Peter on the beach? You remember? How many times did Peter deny him? Three, right? You remember what he does on the beach as they're eating fish and bread and talking it up? You remember how he messes with him? What's he say? Do you love me? One. Peter, do you love me? Two. Peter, do you love me? Fully alive. He eats with them. He laughs with them. He prods. He challenges them. They ate fish and bread, and we will be raised, really, to hang out with Jesus and friends and family and other loved ones. Really, for real. Listen to this from Isaiah 65. See, I want to invite you to humor me for a moment, because I'm more convinced than ever that along with and because of King Jesus, there will be good work for me to do with my dad. My dad loved to work. He did. He loved, absolutely loved to work. And he had me do a lot of work with him. Listen to this from Isaiah 65. They will build houses and dwell in them. This is a promise at new creation, new heavens and new earth. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Really? This past week, my son Josiah gifted me a tour of his Minecraft treehouse. It was stunning. I mean, this thing is incredible. I mean, all these levels and rooms. I mean, it's bigger than any house any of us are ever going to have, and it is gorgeous, and it is decked out. And I'm like, whoa. It's in this tropical forest jungle kind of thing, up all these sets of trees. I'm like, wow. And I got to thinking about it. If that can happen in Minecraft, why not in the land of the living? Why not in the new heavens and new earth? So I'm more convinced than ever that Dad and I will probably roll along in his 61 GMC pickup and talk on all kinds of cool stuff because of Jesus, and even at times with Jesus. Really. And we'll build. I'm about 20 in this picture. We've got Dad's old dump truck, which ran sometimes. And a pole for the pole barn, which is still standing, by the way. I helped Dad build it. It's actually pretty crummy, but it's still standing. But in the grand scheme of things, it's no Sistine Chapel. I can't wait to see what Dad and I will get to build together someday. And in New Earth, I'm going to sit with my grandparents. Yeah, Everett and Janet. I'm going to sit at the big oak table again, and Grandma will make dipping eggs. And Grandpa and I will, after breakfast, go out and work in the shop on some furniture and refinish. And I'm a little suspicious Jesus will join us, because he was kind of into that woodworking thing. For real. And we'll come back in and we'll drink coffee and we'll probably reminisce about Walter Cronkite. He loved Walter. And we'll talk New Kingdom politics. There will be politics, by the way. Nothing like today's politics, praise God. There'll be new politics, and we'll talk about them. And sometimes Jesus will come, and he'll weigh in, and it'll be the best politics ever. And there will be a host of very tangible, physical, fully alive, crazy adventures to go on with Christ and others and the saints of old and family. Way more adventures with Jesus and with others. So what's your response? Seriously. Really. Because, gang, it's Easter 21. And right now, your heart is beating, and you have the opportunity, like never before, to trust the risen Christ and live for him like never before. Jesus, thank you. You rose. You were raised up. And we want to say together today that we believe. We believe like never before. We want to say it. We believe. And yes, even if we're still wrestling with it and trying to buy it, yeah, full flesh and bone, your resurrection, full on, Lord, your resurrection, and that we'll get to be raised up someday like that. So Lord, please, please, Jesus, renew our faith, revive us, renew us, re-energize us in our faith, Lord Jesus, and allow us like never before to live life in you. In the here and now, revived and renewed in the here and now, Lord Jesus, thank you. We love you, Lord Jesus, so much, and we want to place our faith in you anew. We want to take new steps in you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We adore you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.